don't know if you've been keeping up with the news lately. Just wanted to spend a couple moments on that. There's still lots happening. There's lots happening still down in Florida. I don't know if you saw this news story or not. I caught it online. That is Governor Rick Scott. They had to life flight him. He was down at a site with cleanup. Evidently, a tile came down and smacked him on the head, according to the article that I read. And then still in Florida, I guess part of Disney World is going to be permanently closed now, all because of Irma. But the most startling one, the one that has me upset the most, is this last one from NASA. NASA says evidently planet Nibiru is going to crash into the Earth and destroy us all. It's all fake news. All of them. All of them. Are you getting tired of fake news? I'm tired of fake news. Because what do you believe and what don't you believe? I had you with the governor of Florida, right? Had probably thousands, if not millions of people as they saw that pop up online. Completely fictitious. Disney World people were all upset that part of things might get fictitious. Now, Planet X, that one, all right, that one didn't have me. I figured that one probably wasn't right. Right? But it's all fake news, and it's frustrating to me that each time that you go to a news source or you see something come across your feed on Facebook, is it true? Is it false? And how do you navigate through all of that? Well, I've got nothing to add to try and help you with fake news. But I can tell you the source of truth, a source that you can always count on, a source that you can always trust. It is the Word of God. God's Word is the only source for truth. It is the only thing that we can build our life on and we can bank our eternity on because it is the source, the truth, the norm that we can face our life on. It is sola scriptura. It is Scripture alone. It is one of five statements that the Reformation rallied upon. This month marks the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It started with a monk named Luther, who in Wittenberg decided that he wanted to debate 95 sentences, 95 theses, and he didn't think it would catch much attention, so he nailed it to the church door. That was kind of like their bulletin board. Little did he know that it would ignite a firestorm that would really change history. But the reformers of that time, a time when, frankly, the church was very, very corrupt, they rallied around these five statements. Sola Scriptura, it is by Scripture alone. Solus Christus, it is by Christ alone. Sola Gratia, it is by grace alone. Sola Fides, it is by faith alone. And Soli Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. We're going to spend the next 5 weeks digging into each one of those because as important as they were for the Reformation, they're equally important for us today. And so we start with sola scriptura because it's the foundation which all the rest are built upon. But each of them are connected to one another because each of them builds upon the last. If you look at the front cover of your bulletin, there's a sentence that's underneath the logo that's here I stand. That's a summary statement about how they all work together. Let's put it up on the screen, and I'd invite you to read this with me so that we get the connection. Scripture alone is our source of truth that teaches salvation through Christ alone, who has redeemed us by grace alone, which is received through faith alone, and now we live to bring glory to God alone. They all work together, but the foundational statement is sola scripturity. It is giving priority to the Word of God. Priority to the Word of God because there God reveals to us everything that we need to know about Him and everything that we need to know about ourselves. Therefore, there can be no other authority in our life, no other source of truth in our life besides God's Word alone. But throughout history, people have added to and taken away from God's Word. You see, fake news is nothing new. They didn't call it that back then, but there's been fake news around forever. If we go back to the 16th century, there was all kinds of fake news that was happening back there, but it was fake news that hid the good news of the gospel. Now, in order for us really to understand this, we have to learn some history. I know you're yawning already. Okay. All right, get some caffeine or something. Wake yourself up, right? I promise we won't stick there too long. But if we're really going to understand the importance of this, then we have to have a little bit of a historical context. So in for God's people, there's always been scripture and tradition. Now, when tradition, I don't mean like every Thanksgiving we have turkey, not that kind of tradition. I'm talking about the teachings of the church. And we still have them yet today. We still have the traditions of the church, the teachings of the church. We just recited one of them, the Nicene Creed, right? That's not a quote from Scripture, but everything contained in there can be found in Scripture. And that's what the teachings of the church are supposed to be. They're supposed to be statements, documents that we can look to that capture the truths of Scripture, but they are always subordinate to Scripture. Scripture is the only norm, it is the only rule of faith, but then we have these writings that help support that, that help us teach that. So Nicene Creed, Apostles' Creed, we have confessional statements that we have, but each time, only as far as they are in agreement with Scripture. Been around forever. But something happened in history. And what happened is, you had Scripture, which was in the driver's seat, if you will, and in the back seat were the teachings of the church, the traditions of the church. But over time, after Jesus' death and resurrection, you put a few hundred years on there, and all of a sudden, the church starts adding more and more teachings, and they're extra biblical. In other words, many of them had no basis, no root in Scripture at all. Some of them were quite harmless, others of them were very, very harmful. Now, by the time we get to the 16th century, now we got trouble. By the time we get to the 16th century, frankly, the church, the known church at that time, was very, very corrupt. That's just a historical fact. And part of the corruption was this, is that now the teachings of the church were equal, if not above, Scripture. So now no longer was it Scripture, and then you see the teachings of the church, but now looking through the lens of the teachings of the church, we interpret Scripture. Dangerous road to go down. If you were the average parishioner back in the 1600s, you wouldn't know what the Bible was. You wouldn't own one. You wouldn't read one. And you really wouldn't know what was in the Bible. What you would know are the teachings of the church. And some of the teachings of the church at that time were quite harmful. For instance, it was taught that God was a righteous, angry judge who demanded punishment for all of our infractions, no matter how small or how great they might be. So that meant that if you were going to get back into the good graces of God, if you stood a chance to spend an eternity with Him instead of an eternity in hell, well, then you had to make up for all of those sins. You had to go to confession. You had to do penance. You had to keep trying to do more and more good things to make up for all of the bad things. The trouble was, one lifetime usually wasn't enough. And so that meant you went to a place called purgatory, and you might spend a couple thousand years there working off all of these bad things. Now, we might look back at that and go, for a 16th century Christian, they were scared to death. They were frightened of God, terrified of Him, and what might happen for an eternity. The traditions, the teachings of the church had overshadowed Scripture, had hidden the gospel. Now, before we go wagging our finger at the 16th century church, let's understand there's nothing new under the sun. People have been adding to or taking away Scripture since sin entered into this world. Case in point, Jesus. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, I'll summarize what he's talking to them about. And that is that back then, of course, there's no retirement, there's no Social Security. So when you got too old to work, your children were supposed to provide an income for you, supposed to help you along so that you can make it. Well, the scribes and Pharisees had come up with a workaround. They'd come up with a workaround where they didn't have to give as much money to their parents. And so it became a tradition, it became a teaching for them, a loophole, if you will, so that they didn't have to give as much money to mom and dad so that they could survive. Jesus summarizes that when he says this in verse 6. So, for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. So for the sake of tradition, for the sake of this teaching, the whole thing about honor thy father and thy mother, you've just voided that right out because they've put tradition over Scripture. There's nothing new under the sun. Now, before we start wagging our fingers at the Pharisees and the scribes, perhaps we should look at today. And we should look at ourselves. Is Scripture always in the driver's seat in your life? Or do we toss it to the back seat when it's convenient? What lens do you look through when you see Scripture? See, today, in my mind, many look at Scripture through the lens of culture and what is popular today. So looking through the lens of culture, we've redefined marriage. Looking through the lens of culture, we've actually made marriage an optional thing. You don't really need to do that to be together. Looking through the lens of culture, we decide who gets born and when somebody, it's time for them to leave this world. Or getting maybe closer to home, looking through the lens of culture, we'll tell a bold-faced lie as long as we're convinced that, well, we're sparing their feelings, so I guess that's okay. We've put something above Scripture, instead of relying upon Scripture alone. The bottom line is, when we add to or take away from the Word of God, it's not just fake news, it's bad news. It's not just fake news, it's bad news. Because what we do is we take away our only source of truth. We take away the only foundation that we have to build our lives upon. Because now all of a sudden, Scripture just becomes something which is, well, it's interpreted by the times. What we need is the gospel truth. What we need is sola scriptura. We need Scripture alone. We need to put the Bible, God's Word, back into the driver's seat. That doesn't mean we do away with the teachings of the church. We don't do away with the traditions of the church. All of them are good. We still have the creeds. We still have confessional statements, but they are under Scripture. And as long as they agree with Scripture, then we keep them. It is this revelation that it must be Scripture alone that really resulted in the Reformation. It was this young monk, Martin Luther, as he was pushing back against the church and some of the corruption that is there, as he was being challenged by that more and more and more, he kept retreating away from the teachings of the church and back to the Bible again and again until finally he was like, no, it's Scripture alone. That's the only thing that we base our faith on. And he was willing to even bet his life on it. A little more history for you. At one point, he is put up in front of Emperor Charles. Emperor Charles wants to have enough with Luther. He demands that he recant all of his teachings. That is, that he disavows all of his writings, all of his books, and says, nope, those were all wrong. If he didn't, he would be declared an outlaw, which meant that his life was worthless. Anyone could take his life and no retribution. Luther took 24 hours to think it over. And when he came back, this is his answer. Unless I can be instructed and convinced from the Holy Scriptures, or with open, clear, and distinct grounds and reasoning, my conscience is captive to the Word of God. He would not give up his source of truth. He would not give up the foundation for his life. His conscience was captive to the Word of God. Scripture is the Word of God. The collection of books in the Old and New Testament, they're not just stories. They don't just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. God revealing Himself to us. Listen to what Scripture says of itself. If we go to 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is breathed out by God. inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It's inspired by God, written by people, but inspired by God. Take a look at the Old Testament, Proverbs. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. The word of God is true. Now, for those of us in this room, that's enough for us. I'm going to go on the assumption that we're all believers. And as believers, we look at the Bible, and the Bible says it's true, then it must be true. Now, anyone outside of this circle, they'd say, sounds like faulty reasoning to me. You've just proven something to be true by the very thing that you're quoting, right? So you can't use the Bible as proof that the Bible is true. Well, you can for us, because that's what faith is all about. The Holy Spirit has captured our hearts. But okay, let's step back from that for a moment. Because even just using our reason, using our intellect, we can see the reliability of the historical book that we call the Bible. For instance, if you look at the Bible and you see the things that are written there, you have to ask the question, who would make this up? If you're trying to get a point across, if you're trying to put your best foot forward and you're trying to convince somebody of something, then why would they make up some of the stuff that's in the Bible? Let's take a look at Moses. Moses records the first five books of the Bible. He does not paint God's people in a favorable light. I mean, you read some of the things that they did to one another. Why would you write that down if it was false? Go to the New Testament. You have Matthew and John, both disciples of Jesus. They write an account of his life. Have you ever read those and paid attention? How is it that the disciples are portrayed? Kind of dim-witted, really. They're kind of dull. They don't get it half the time. Why would you do that? Why would you be so disparaging about yourself? How about Paul? Paul, in more than one occasion, says, I'm the worst sinner in the bunch. You know, why would you write that about yourself? Because it's God's word. Because it's true. And being inspired by the Holy Spirit, they wrote the truth. Let's take a different angle on that. I've heard for years and years and years, thrown in my face, well, you don't even have any original documents. You're not even the Gospels. You don't have any original signed document of the Gospels. Most historical books, the vast majority, we don't have original copies of those. But yet, we call them reliable sources. Let's just take a look at a few. How about Plato? The first one that we have is 1,200 years after Plato was dead, and we only got seven copies, but we consider it reliable. How about Aristotle? It's 1,400 years after he dies that we have actually the first copy, and for those, well, we've got about 49 copies. Now we get to Homer, and it's doing a little bit better, because we're going to get to Homer 500 years after he dies, and now we've got like 634 copies. Well, how does that fare with the Gospels? The earliest manuscripts we have are 40 to 80 years after they were written. And we have 24,000 sources, either full manuscripts or partials. Historically speaking, the Bible is unprecedented as far as its reliability. Why? Because it's the Word of God. And he preserved it for us so that it is trustworthy and true. You see, the Word of God must be given priority because it is the power of God. It is the living Word of Scripture that has the power of God itself. Listen to what St. Paul says to the church at Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The power of God is contained in the gospel. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. He says, how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Or how about the gospel writer John? He finishes things up. He says, Jesus did a lot of other things, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It is the word of God that changes lives and changes destiny, because it is the power of law and gospel. Law and gospel, which are in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It is God's law which convicts us of our sin, and it's God's gospel which shows us the salvation that is found in Jesus only. It is the law that must break us, must bring us to the point and convince us that we can't make up for everything that we've done, that we can't somehow work our way back into the good graces of God. This is where Luther lived for probably 30 years of his life, trying to make up for all of his sins. He would spend hours in confession. He would beat himself up. He'd sleep out in the cold. He wouldn't eat for days on end, somehow to appease God. But he couldn't. And neither can you, and neither can I. It's when the law breaks us that says we don't deserve it and we can't earn it that the gospel comes in. And the gospel comes in not of a God who is angry, but a compassionate, loving Father who loves you enough to send his only son. A son that's committed enough to you to die for you, to take on the punishment of my sin, the punishment of your sin, so that you could be declared righteous in God's sight. You and I don't deserve it. We can't earn it. God just gives it to us. That's his gift to us. This is the revelation of the Reformation. This is what came back to light, that we are saved by grace through faith, not by anything that we do. That's the message that penetrates hearts. And it has penetrated hearts for thousands of years. What other book has been around for thousands of years and is still as relevant today as the day that it was penned? What other book speaks to so many different people groups and cultures around the globe? What other book spoke to you and meant something to you and had an impact in your life when you were, say, 7 years old? And that same book speaks to you today and has an impact on you today, because it's the living word of God. It is our only source. It is our foundation. Someplace for truth. And we need one. I'm so tired of fake news. I'm so tired of trying to figure out what to believe and what not to believe and what spin's been put on that and what spin's been put on this. But I have a source for truth. It's one that I can build my life on and bank my eternity on. It is sola scriptura, scripture alone. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing your word to us. Thank you for breaking us with the law, but building us back up with the gospel message through your Son, Jesus. May your Holy Spirit dwell in our hearts, and may your word always be in the driver's seat and never in the back seat. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.